You are listening to Bipolarity with Cass Eugene. All right, guys, we got to talk. We got to talk. All right, so my last two episodes were made when I was in a very isolated state of mind. I'm still isolated, but now I am preparing to release everything that I have. This is my final speech, I guess, about my recent scenarios that have been happening in my life. And I wanted to address different types of people with different messages. So this is now the me that has received Facebook back. I got my emails back. You know, it took a little work, but I got it back. Seeing is different than knowing. I want you to remember that. Seeing is different than knowing. I was in jail. I was not in jail because I have an abusive personality. No, I was in jail because I had a manic episode and somebody was gaslighting me to the point where we ended up in a situation where my wife jumped on me. I responded in kind. And during that altercation, well, we both told the officers who came onto the scene, she did it, he did it, she did it, he did it. We told them the scenario. They pulled out their weapons on me. Like, what the hell? Who pulls weapons out? This happens to me. She jumps in front of this taser that this officer has in front of her. She says, no, officer, take me. And he's like, I can take both of you guys, but I say I will take it. This scenario that exists, this was 2019. A year later, a very similar scenario happened, except for this time, I was yelling, screaming, and you guys saw it on camera. So my wife uses the fact that I yell when I'm symptomatic, my mania is out of control, medication or no medication, manic moments still happen, and rather than de-escalate the situation as we agreed that we would do, I trusted that she would de-escalate whenever these kind of moments happen. Rather than de-escalate, she's building the case so she can leave the marriage. By all means, do what you got to do. But don't turn around here and say that I'm something that I'm not. And then to make it worse, while all of this is happening, y'all, this is not y'all's fault. For those of you who are on my side, when I say my side, I mean like, bro, we got you. Like, we just need to know what's going on. That's what this is about. For those of you who are not, I want you to think critically. Please think critically. She used the fact that I was in jail to make it seem that her claims of abuse were true. This could not be further from the truth. Even while I was on the inside, just a piece of insider knowledge for you, I spoke to Shayla on the phone. And I asked her, point blank period. I said, do you think I belong in here? I was pissed. I said, do you think that I belong in here? And she said, no. She said that I put myself in there. That was a little cryptic ending to her message. But the very next message I hear from her, she's found out some damning information about me. And now all of a sudden she wants to try to change the narrative of not only the situation that has happened, but of the character of who I am. And no. I knew this was happening while I was on the inside. I knew that this was happening. And I knew that it would be an uphill fight that I do not want to fight, because I didn't want to be an advocate for mental health in the first place. I just happened to find out I was bipolar. I just happened to have a resiliency to people who call me crazy and I pay attention in an observation kind of way. I overanalyze a lot of things. I studied, went to Georgia State for psychology, became a life coach, did all of these things, not for you guys. I did it for myself. I wasn't given benefit of the doubt for some of you. That's shame on you for not wanting to believe in your friend. Now, I am human and I understand. If someone claims something so vicious and brutal as beating, first of all, that's messed up, because that's not the case. But to claim this, people will instantly demonize you. And then they will isolate you. The number one thing that you don't do when you're bipolar is you isolate. That's one thing that you're not supposed to do. She knows this. I know this. She knows that the world that I built up was a digital world. Podcasting, my Etsy store, different ways of talking to people through digital format, you know, and then I got a little carried away and I did some things that were a little foul. I did. And then I'm answering for that right now with some paperwork. So I'll handle mine as it's due mine. But for the rest of this, no. I'm not this super villain that she painted me to be. And just think about it. If a woman is upset, mad, and scorned, you think she's going to log into her husband's social media, make a truthful claim, not do it on her own social media? You think she's going to do it in a way that's objective and clear? I would think that her head would be clouded with the fact that she's upset that she was betrayed. As you can hear, I'm still down on myself. I know where to be down on myself and where not to be. And I'm letting you guys know that I'm just disappointed in some of you. Right? I'm just disappointed in some of you in that, you weren't ready to fight for me. As soon as she said jump, you jumped. But it's because she knows protocol, and I didn't train you guys with what the protocol looks like. When I say protocol, like how does Cass respond when a crisis happens? You know, people don't know. They don't know my morals and my values. I've lived in many different places. I've had many different developing influences. And I have friends from each one of those different sects of life. So they understand that I live in a life that's a lot different than other people. So she just left a lot of people angry and confused. Now, for some of you, what I do want to say, I mean, for any of you, actually, I'm not upset. I'm not upset at all. I understand. Truthfully, I do. I understand. And a domestic situation is messy in the first place. So even if you are feeling that maybe my thoughts towards him were manipulated, you probably still won't reach out to me and tell me that you feel that way. You would just feel that way. And so this is my attempt now to let you know. This is me telling you I'm not this supervillain. I may not be the superhero, but I'm not the supervillain. The altercation that happened, it was brief. It was isolated. I'm sorry that it happened. I have been trying to handle things. I even got to the point where I was calling EMTs because of, you know, she, you know, made an attempt on her life. And I'm thinking to myself, this is getting beyond me. What am I supposed to do now? And it was a weird position for me to be in, being that I'm the one with the mental health emergencies. So I'm starting to see that some of my crazy, if you will, is starting to spread. And this is something that happens in families that have a bipolar spouse. I'll never really try to give you guys relationship advice. I already knew I was flawed with that approach, you know, years ago, you know, but I dipped my toe back in that world and it cost me. And it cost me, honestly, it cost me a few points with you guys because I have to deal with some stuff. But now you guys see, primarily because you guys see, if you guys saw the videos of where I was angry, I have no idea what videos are out there, to be honest. But a black manic episode, to see that, it's like to see a video of a unicorn. Let it be a cautionary tale. I'm not perfect. I won't be perfect. I don't get paid to do this podcast. For most of what I do, I don't get paid. I have a goal that I will achieve. And it's a goal to help people in a very particular way. In a very transformative way. And I'm going to stick with that goal. I have a team that agrees with me. As far as the things that are scary, such as a big 6'4", 200-pound black man yelling and screaming, that's when something's not right with the bipolar. I've been trying to fix this animal for many years. I've gotten closer to, you know, fixing it. That hasn't happened in, like, I think since that day, really. I've had moments of despair. You know, I've had to fight a lot of depression this year. You know, but as I move forward, I'm going to talk to you guys bluntly and plainly now. I was always afraid of sparing her feelings. I've always had this notion that you have to always project excellence. And that was a sign of weakness for me. Because I was spending energy projecting up in the image rather than spending more energy in healing. Healing could have been something as simple as trusting a friend to talk with a friend and let them know what I'm going through. Rather than doing that, how you doing today, Cass? Oh, I'm doing all right. Rather than take the moment to, well, he really did ask. So first of all, I know it's a lot of work to be my friend, but there are advantages to it as well. Don't forget that. Some of you know the value of a dreamer, and some of you know someone who's going to make it. If you didn't, would you know someone? So when I say to you, let's shape it up and get right. Let's shape it up and get right. Everybody, me included. I had a whole totally new, different message for you today. But essentially, it all led to this. Transformation. I'm going to transform. And now you are understanding why. There's always been a part of me that was questioning, should I? not knowing my true purpose and mission, I know the direction. So I started walking in that direction. Life coaching, podcasting, all of it. And some of the bumps along the way, bipolar being a big one. It's funny. Well, anyway, bipolar being a big bump that was going along the way. As I'm fixing these issues, I'm realizing that other people don't have the resources or the tenacity to find the answer to these metaphysical questions. Guys, my biggest question in life, like if you don't know me, now you know. My biggest question in life is about my human soul. Constantly, daily. You see, I was raised a Muslim. And around the time I was 14, I started going to church proper and gave my life to Christ. And being someone who is a religious convert, there are things there that exist. Like, it's very hard to change my mind. But if something needs to change my mind, I have a system to where I can try on a thought, if you will. Because I was raised with this analytical mind, I'm going to use it to the best of my ability. It's a very soft skill. But it's one that I've developed. I didn't mean to for a long time, but then I learned how to develop it. And so I'm going to utilize it to make my mark on the world. This is an ugly part of my past, but it's still part of my legacy. I wish I was perfect, y'all. I wish this was a easy cut and dry scenario, but I'm letting you guys know it's not. And for those of you who have lost faith in me, I apologize that you find yourself in that scenario. I really wish you the best. I wish no ill towards you. I know where the manipulation came from. I feel like I'm really like solid, really good, mentally solid, right? My problems are emotional problems. So when my emotions change, I have mechanisms to change them back or to recognize that I'm in the wrong mode or something of that nature. That's where my problems lie. Not with being intellectually gifted. There's no issue there. I can read the study. I can understand the study. I can translate it back. These vaccines people are getting? Yeah, like I'm really interested to see these studies at the end of the day. But that's not mental health. That's something totally different. I'm going to use my skills. I'm going to show you on how this gets done. I'm sorry that you guys got caught up in my drama. As I go through this divorce proceeding, I now add myself to the over 52% divorce rate of families with a bipolar spouse. I get to add to that statistic now. So that's definitely not something I'm proud of. But there's one thing that I learned during my studies at Georgia State. The numbers, when it came to bipolar disorder, they get a little distorted over the years now. But essentially, when a person reaches around from 30s to their 50s, during that age range, the bipolar symptoms are less severe unless it's suicide. So to say, during the teenage to the 24, 25 range, you know, a person is like really manic, you know, a lot of life changes. You can really see it. And I asked the professor, why is it that things are less severe? And she says, maybe they're just learning how to handling people are just learning how to handle the scenarios that happen in their life as they get older. And I thought that was bull. I'm like, it's bullshit. Like, there has to be a way for us to like pass this knowledge backwards to people before they become old and they have life problems. Bipolar disorder takes off 9 years of your life, if I'm not mistaken. Like, your life expectancy is 9 years less. I'm already an African American. My life expectancy ain't looking too hot. So I want to make sure that the world can heal itself. And if I can add anything to that, I will. And so part of that is that I needed your trust and goodwill. And the actions of what Shayla has done has shaken my foundation. And I'm seeing those people who weren't ready. They weren't ready to believe in me. And that's on me. That's on me. I thought that by being someone who lives mindfulness and only talks about mindfulness, that you would, if anything ever happened, you would say, "Hey, Cass is still a stand-up guy. We give him benefit of the doubt." I always thought that would be the scenario. But then I never anticipated having to hide portions of myself. Now that everything has happened on a social media playing field, I get a chance to open up the door to some really hard topics: sex, suicide, LGBT, family violence. We get to have these discussions right here on Bipolarity. Now I get to have these discussions unchecked. And now perhaps, as you start to see who I am, you'll understand that this attack that she's done on me, this is her most misguided and immature move yet. And I won't stand for it. So for those of you who need to believe in me, bring your attention back here. We have some work to do. I just needed to discuss this with you. I don't like that my friends were put in a position that they had to choose whether or not they believe me. A lot of you haven't even heard from me, and I've been out of jail for a month. Over a month now. I've been letting my meds kick in. I've been trying to get on a proper routine. I'm trying to figure out what life looks like for me from here on out. Just because the world is in a pandemic doesn't mean that I have to be going through a pandemic on the inside of myself. I don't need my alarms going off. And they're not. I know who I am. I know who I am. You can't shake that from me anymore. This experience has solidified to me who I am. Keep following this podcast. And you guys will get a chance to see who that person is. If not, you can bail. You'll still see me around. I'm going to make some noise now. I'm tired of sitting in the slow lane, watching everyone else go fast. It's time for me to pick up the pace and get into the game. Now, with that being said, I want you guys to know that this episode and the previous two, Clearing the Air and also Hindsight is 2020. These two or these three podcasts are, I guess, the kind of talks I would give to you in person to the best of my ability without having you give me questions. I'm answering most of the questions that I think people may or may not have, Because it wasn't fair for her to go onto social media and to attack my friends and to attack my fan base. And then for me not to be able to respond back. But by the time, you know, I was able to respond, like, she cut everyone out. No one knew where I was at. She was trying to hide me in the box. And I'll be damned if I'm going to fight for a stigma to end and then we don't run up against another one. Just because I have mental health issues doesn't mean you can do whatever you want to me. Doesn't mean you can just sling me around no matter however you want. Like, that's not how this works. And I won't stand for it. So I'm going to fight for my own reputation to take it back. If you guys need to think about it the way I think of it, we're in a secret clubhouse and someone has attacked one of the members. And you have a decision to make. Do you choose to believe him or choose not to believe him? The choice is yours. But for the rest of the class, I'm going to drop, starting next week, season one of Bipolarity. Reason why I call it season one is because I have a full curriculum ready to go. We just had to get some of this out the way first, of course. But I have a full curriculum that translates not into just podcasts, but you know, even into coaching. Now, a lot of you guys are like, "What? Whoa, coaching? I know you ain't thinking about coaching at a time like this." I didn't become a coach for you. I didn't go get a degree in psychology for you. My mama told me, go to school for what you love. Which, mom, I love you to death. That's some horrible advice for today. Because, you know, psychology ain't paying the bills. But I went to school for what I loved. And I had a thirst for the human mind. And at the same time, minds were starting to change. This was around the end of my military career. My mind was starting to change. I wanted to know the measures of the mind. I wanted to know what the great thinkers thought. And when things got abnormal, I just took abnormal psychology. I started to study myself. And so the things that I talk about are things that need to be talked about. Okay, most of what I'm talking about needs to be talked about. But season one, we get a chance to really get into that. So join me there Wednesdays and Fridays. Wednesdays and Fridays. I got a nice little format. And if you join the Bipolar Society on Facebook, you'll get like inside information, that kind of thing. I hadn't really got down to all the marketing kind of nitty gritty to it. Taking things slow here. During this process, I can tell you that it's only made my craft stronger. I almost died, y'all. I guess we're so desensitized that hearing about a friend almost, you know, passing is just eh. But it's like, when I lose a friend, I lose a friend. I'll never get a chance to see them smile and laugh again. When I'm no longer friends with someone, it feels the same way. You know, and for my disappearance to happen, and then for, you know, my name to be slandered, and then just and to think in those moments, like, if this was the end right now, what is my legacy? I know what my legacy is, but you guys don't. So then, therefore, it's not really a legacy. And to see how someone can just shit on it so quickly. And then for some of you to eat it up, even quicker. I can't stand for that. So that just shows poor leadership. Just like in my marriage, it showed poor leadership. So I need to work on my leadership. I still have Cast Lab Creations. We have some new stuff coming out. So we have a new direction. Me and my team, we've been talking how to handle things during all of this craziness. And for starters, we're going to do a forever in one cell. So I'm dropping a few. I mean, I'm dropping a new collection, but my collection, they don't just come with just a bracelet. The essential oils, I mix them up perfectly, to give you this moment of serenity. So I call it serenity mist. And so as I design something new, I try it on myself. And then the essential oils, I tried them on myself. Then any programs, any do better for yourself motivational talks that I have, I do them for myself. So the past month, I mean, I've been needing something different. Like, never again will somebody be able to attack me like this, and you guys not throw up the picket signs. Some of you guys did, and I appreciate it. Some of you guys wanted to, I know. Thank you. I mean, I'm a smart and intelligent man. So I know some of my friends better than they know themselves sometimes. But, I mean, she was being very messy, guys. Just putting people, I heard she was putting people up there who didn't even belong into her tirade. She was rude about it. She was very mean-spirited. And behind closed doors, anything could happen. And I know that. I'm not an idiot. This is where I'm telling you, this is what happened. And that's the end of it. Let me get on with my divorce in peace. While that's happening, we're going to have a very pre-structured approach. These messages where I get to talk and kind of shoot the shit with you. That's kind of cool, but there is a message that needs to be put out there. And so, season one, episode one will be coming to you Wednesday. And it's going to be a different format than what I'm used to doing. If you've listened to my work before on the Bipolar Chatterbox, on the Cast Landing Project, even the original six episodes of Bipolarity, I changed my format, trying to figure out, like, it does it fit me? And because I wasn't fitting into myself just right, nothing else in my life was going to fit just right. I like things to fit just a little snug. I like my bracelet to fit just right, not loose. So, bipolarity is going to change a little bit. We're going to start in one way in season one, see how that goes. And that'll also give me time to kind of get my life back on track. I don't want you to feel bad. If you're doing any of the things that I was doing, if you was having cybersexual relationships, flirting around, trying to fill a hole, stop. It's only flesh. Once you lose your flesh, what else is there? If you focus there, oh man, see, I don't trailed off again. See, thinking about life's bigger questions. I don't want to be the bad guy. And if for some reason I am the bad guy, if you're hearing all of this and I'm still the bad guys, you guys can reach out to me. And this would be the community helping, you know, our redemption story to evolve. I have something to do. I have something very, very particular to do. The Cast Lab is there to help prop up the bipolar society. There's a whole ecosystem here growing. It can exist without me. I don't want it to, but it can, because its mission is bigger than mine. Helping people to find the pilot light inside of them, like the thing that they can count on no matter what, even when they're in the dungeon by themselves. People need to remember that they can depend on themselves. We ask for help all the time. There's a time and place for everything. So yes, get help if you need it. But the person that's helping you, make sure that they have your best interest at heart. I'm not talking about overall. I'm talking about as an individual, in those small moments. They want to see the best for you. That's the biggest lesson that I can give you guys for my marriage. I know I got a friend, he engaged over the holiday season. And that's tight. I'm happy for him. I was just in a buddy's wedding and it was amazing. Just to see those lovebirds, man, it was amazing. That doesn't seem to be in the cards for me. I just ain't gonna do right. And or things just ain't gonna be right. And I'm cool with that. But here's one thing. Here's one thing. I'm not cool with you guys thinking that I'm somebody who can harm maliciously. Someone who's going to lose control, that I cannot abide by. So what will happen from here on out is you guys will watch. You will watch. No, seriously, you guys will watch. My life will grow. My life will expand. But it's going to go on the same trajectory now. No more swapping industries. No more jumping from student to military, from military to college to restaurant work to industrial work. No more swapping around like that. I have a plan. I'm writing it down now. It's a life vision plan, so it takes a while. But don't worry, you guys will hear all about it. So thank you for giving me your time. I wanted to make this a nice, long, juicy episode. I wanted to give you the details that you needed to hear. Now that you have those details, I hope that we can start to move forward in a positive manner. I know it's going to be awkward, but I'm asking you to come. I don't have much to give this world. Not yet. What I still have is in its infancy. But as it grows, as I grow, I'll share something with the world that it'll help people remember that self-love and being bold enough to dream, they go hand in hand. If you start on the journey for one, it makes the journey for the second so much easier. In my journey for self-peace, I've been looking for three things: harmony, some balance, and some stability. I'll get close. Sometimes, a couple years, I'll have two out of three. But then something happens and it knocks me off and I've lost it. Well, I know how to get my harmony. I know how to fixate my balance. And I know the things that it takes for me to stay stable. And I'm not going to compromise anymore. I'm not going to compromise anymore. I wouldn't expect you guys to compromise. So as I learn what that feels like, you guys will be here on that journey with me. For some of us, we're always going to be distant friends. That's just the way it is. So whenever you want to check in on me, this is where I'll be. As I start to build the goodwill again with you guys, start to build your trust. Because no matter what, even if you believe me, trust is still shaken. I need you to be solid again. Because we have some heavy hitter work to do in the future. My team is growing, but the team that I have, they are ambitious. The team that I have, they're going to help us change the world. And being bipolar, you got to watch it when you think like that. So my team, my world, you guys, you're part of that world. I want you guys to be informed on not just who I am, but I want you guys informed on what it is I'm asking for you to do. And in a nutshell, find your best self, live that best self, and teach others how to do the same. And make it easier for those who are struggling to find a way to do that. That's in a nutshell. But something tells me I need to open this nutshell and let this seed grow. So that's exactly what we're going to do. I will always wish you guys the best, and I hope that you wish me the best. Even if you hate my stinking guts, you should still wish me the best, because it's not your decision. It's not your karma to give other people karma. So I'm speaking to everyone in the room right now that as things change in my world, one thing you can count on is finding me here. This is my new symbol for myself. If I need to check my mental health, I'll just check my last couple of episodes and see, hey, was he doing some of those symptom things? Or was he staying pretty even keel? So, this is not just an exercise in commitment for me to do a consistent podcast, but this is like the format that I have laid out is made to be like a live human experiment to show you the results as they happen, doing things to transform. To adapt to the new world that's in front of me. As I do that, maybe something will ring a bell and you'll share this with someone who needs it. Or maybe something will stick. And when you're in a situation years from now, you may not always live with depression. You may have depression for only a couple of weeks, but that couple of weeks can be hell and it can be scary. When those moments come, you'll remember what I said, or you'll at least know where I'm at. Like I said, I got some work to do. Now, for the rest of you guys listening, go ahead and jump over to season one, episode one. These are much shorter episodes. Check that out. For the rest of you, we'll talk soon.